Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, President Trump upended America's traditional bipartisan trade policy as he formally abandoned the ambitious 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership brokered by his predecessor and declared an end of an era of multinational trade agreements that defined global economies. And this was for decades. I mean, the world is now flat. It's actually a good book. People should pick it up. With a stroke of a pen on his first full week in office, Mr. Trump signaled that he plans to follow through on promises to take more aggressive stance against foreign competition as part of America First approach. Mr. Trump may also move quickly to renegotiate the Northern American Free Trade Agreement known as NAFTA. But how is this going to affect taxes here in the United States and abroad? The Internal Revenue Code provides default rulings for taxing cross-border transactions. However, a tax treaty between the U.S. and a home country of foreign taxpayer or country and U.S. taxpayer does businesses or produces income take priority over default rules, meaning if there's a treaty. Assessing the tax impact on cross-border activity requires familiarity with the applicable tax treaty code. Now, as well as default rules set forth in the code, and today, from the law firm of Gunster, is Alan Lederman. Alan, who is board certified in tax law and also handles most aspects of income tax with those related to international transaction. Alan also is known as an author and a Harvard Law School graduate. How cool is that? And he'll be giving us the 411 on cross-border taxation. If you're an investor or a business that is involved in international commerce, you got to stay tuned to this. You know, we have a great cast of legal panel hosts, all well-vetted attorneys, and I'd like to welcome Gary Singer. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, Phil, you know, a lot of people don't know that I went to Harvard.
You did?
Yeah, my senior high school trip. It was awesome. from the gift shop. Yeah, I still have it.
I'm your best straight man. I was believing you for a minute.
Oh, that field trip.
Yeah, that's great. Trip.
And, of course, Mike Santucci. Hi, Mike.
How are you, Phil? I also want to thank Bob Coons, the bass player of the local Florida band New Granada, for our outro music this week.
How cool is that?
Thank you, Bob. And local bands, local songwriters, if you're from Florida, please keep submitting your songs to info@500law.com. That's info@500law.com.
Mike, do you know that there's a band of real estate attorneys, a rock group of real estate attorneys that plays every year at the real estate, what's called the Fund Assembly. It's like the Real Estate Lawyer Council.
I'm not surprised.
The Subordinators, they call them.
Really?
Their music's better than their humor.
And let's not forget Gary Ostro, criminal attorney.
Yeah, let's not.
Who,
he's a criminal attorney. Smooth criminal.
It's not criminal that he's an attorney. He is an attorney.
Oh, there's some partial truth to that, law. Phil. Oh. We'll wait for an entire segment for that.
Oh, You know, our new president has America First platform and wants to change treaties. And we're very pleased to have on today's broadcast Alan Lieberman from the law firm of Gunster. And that is such a cool name for a law firm. Think about it, Gunster. You know, Gunster's been around for over 90 years. And has a stellar reputation as well. And I'd like to say good afternoon, Alan.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you taking the time. I mean, you're very busy, especially this time of year. And you've written so many different books and articles. I mean, I've got almost a phone book size stuff here. It's amazing. But you are the go-to guy. You are board certified as well. That's correct.
That's right.
Alan, first question I have, what is cross-border taxation?
Cross-border taxation is a term that's used for Americans who invest abroad, and the money that they pay abroad and bring home is subject to two levels of tax, the foreign tax when they earn it abroad and the U.S. tax when they bring it at home. Those are the cross-border taxes on outbound transactions. Also, in Florida in particular, we have a lot of foreign investors. They invest in businesses and real estate in Florida,
right,
and they also pay tax here on their U.S. properties. And when they take the money back, they pay in their home countries. Those two taxes are also cross-border taxes.
Well, uncertainty over these potential reform or renegotiated treaties, it has to impede planning taxes.
Yes, I think that right now everyone is in a total state of disarray because of the magnitude of the proposals and the radical change of Donald Trump's proposals as opposed to the current law. And no one knows what's going to be passed, what isn't going to be passed. Makes it very difficult to plan.
I could only imagine the frustration that your clients have.
Hey, Phil, this is Gary Singer. I want to back up a little bit. My father, a lot of people don't know, before he left this mortal realm, was a tax attorney, an LM from Miami, University of Miami. And one of the things that he often got frustrated about was a lot of people don't understand the difference between a tax attorney and a CPA. So could you tell us like when you'd need a tax attorney versus when you'd need a CPA?
Yes, I think the difference is that CPAs usually more in the compliance end. They usually do more tax returns. The lawyers tend to focus on the planning for transactions. And in our group, we also do tax litigation in the U.S. tax courts and the federal courts.
And what would you litigate in tax litigation?
The most recent case we had was a case involving a cross-border loan, a loan from a Canadian family to the U.S. family business, and the IRS challenged some aspects of the loan. The case has been litigated in the tax court, in the district court, in the Court of Appeals, and I had the pleasure of going to the U.S. Supreme Court years ago on the case, and it was the decision.
What was that like?
That was very exciting. I thought that Justice Stevens did an excellent job of understanding the case and
you must have won.
Oh.
I hate to put you on the spot. No, I really don't.
Well, there was a split in the circuits, and they created a new uniform standard and remanded
wow.
the case.
That's a win. That's a win.
That was we felt it was a pro-taxpayer standard.
This is so beyond my comprehension, and I'm not afraid to admit it, so I'm going to ask you, is there such thing as a typical client in this field?
Yes, I would say that in South Florida, in the inbound field, it's mainly wealthy South American families that want to buy Florida real estate or start a Miami branch of their South American business.
Which there are a ton of in North Miami, for example, but in South Florida is loaded with these exact type
yes, exactly.
people you're describing.
Exactly.
Business must be good.
Business is good, yeah.
You know, it's funny because I don't do any tax law whatsoever, but with people you just described, I have couple dozen where I do everything else except for the tax bar where they hire Gunster, Harvard educated lawyers like yourself to keep me out of trouble with the IRS.
Are you offering him a job?
And then people, God, I wish. If I could afford someone like Alan, I'd offer him a job, no doubt about it.
Hey, all we could do is say no.
Very quickly.
Yes.
During the break, this is Michael Santucci. During the break, I was talking to Alan about something dear to my heart, and that's intellectual property. And intellectual property is considered an intangible asset. Like I represent some publishing companies that own, you know, rights to thousands of songs, or companies that have a whole portfolio of patents or even trademarks. He was telling me an interesting issue right now that's causing some controversy with what Apple is doing, you know, with transferring a lot of their intangible assets like intellectual property to foreign entities. Alan, you broke that down very beautifully.
Well, I think the Apple controversy now is a it's not just Apple. They're among the huge, the U.S. multinationals. A lot of them have set up their structures so that they've placed intellectual property in tax havens. Mm-hmm. And that amount has accumulated and accumulated, and it's trillions of dollars.
Overseas.
Yeah. And the tax has never been paid, but it would be paid if it was brought back to America. What Donald Trump is thinking about is giving a partial amnesty on the taxation that would be due under present law if they were to bring it back, reduce the tax rate if they were to use the money for certain specified purposes, such as increasing the domestic payroll or making some infrastructure improvements in America. And Congress will have to decide on that.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that you think would work?
It was tried, and it was considered by most people to be a failure. There was a partial, at one time, the Congress did enact a amnesty, and if you paid 7%, you could bring the money back. And of course, the big beneficiaries were Procter and Gamble and Coca-Cola and Microsoft. It was the Fortune 50. And the only requirement in the law was that the dividends had to be no bigger than the payroll, essentially. But they had very big payrolls in America anyway, so they were able to bring the money back and not create any new jobs. And some professors have tracked the money that came in, and all the money basically was used for dividends and to the stockholders, so that was considered a failure. I think this time, if Congress goes to that way and gives an amnesty, they're going to look very closely to make sure the money is used to benefit the general economy.
Without getting into your political beliefs and affiliations, or with getting into them, do you think Trump, what he has in mind with this suggestion, whatever you call it, I have no idea, whatever it is, but you
the
think
tax thingy.
Well,
yeah, whatever
negotiation on treaties.
Whatever Gary said are closely there, too. Is that something you think is going down the right road?
I think it could go. In the short term, I think it's going to be a big boost. His basically his three tenets that he's thinking of proposing are a reform of the amnesty of the accumulated money.
To encourage repatriation.
Exactly right. The second thing is to change the U.S. taxation going forward so that the U.S. does not tax foreign income, and that makes it much easier for American businesses to compete abroad, because right now when they compete with German companies and French companies that don't tax African and Latin American earnings, they're at a huge disadvantage because they have to pay the U.S. tax and the other companies don't pay any local tax.
Last follow-up. What would you do to improve that Trump proposal?
That proposal, I think, is fair.
There's nothing you could think of
to
improve?
No.
It's that good.
No,
well, you're not that great.
I'm not that great. That's one proposal.
Yeah.
The third proposal he has is the border tax, which is the most controversial. And the border tax, basically what that would do is it would deny deductibility of items that are imported into America, and it would make tax-free all items exported from America. And that, you've been reading, probably has caused a huge divergence among businesses because, for example, one of my colleagues went to a seminar and the president of Marshalls said that Marshalls would be broke within a couple of weeks under that system. Because what would happen is even if they cut the corporate tax rate down to 20%, they would take a shirt, they buy it in China for 85 cents, sell it in America for a dollar. They'd pay 20 cents of tax because of the fact that the 85 cents is not deductible, and then the 100 minus 20 cents of tax would be 80 cents, wouldn't cover the price of the shirt.
So the whole advantage would be wiped out.
So Marshalls wouldn't be broke in a couple of years,
wow,
a couple of days. By contrast, a manufacturing business like Caterpillar could deduct everything, and if they sold it on export, they wouldn't pay any tax on the export, and the tax deduction would create a refundable tax in America, and they would get money from the government for exporting. So it's created a huge difference between the manufacturing sector and the retail sector.
Alan, I'm thinking about creating some commerce.
I've got a follow-up question for you.
We have to hold on 1 minute because we've got to take a break.
Yep. Yeah, we got to take a break. I got Mike Santucci as my enforcer now, Gary.
Ah.
Be nice to him.
Oh, fine. Replace
that's
me.
That's right.
That's
you're
good.
Listening. No, you're not the enforcer.
I see how it is.
You need to be enforced. You're a force to be reckoned with. You're listening to Legal News and Review. I'm Philip Bell along with
Michael Santucci,
Gary Ostro, and
the original Gary Singer.
and they're not to be duplicated. And we're speaking about what's happening with international taxes here in the from the United States, and of course for abroad companies doing business here. And we're going to be right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air. My name is Philip Bell. I am the moderator for today's broadcast, along with Michael Santucci, Gary Singer, and Gary Ostro. We're speaking to Alan Lieberman. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Lieberman, yeah.
Lieberman, correct. Regarding taxes and international codes and the changes there. And before I actually get into the question, which I find fascinating because I was wrong when I looked at it originally regarding inbound and outbound, but I do want to make an announcement. Those that have been following the political conference regarding the White House with Spencer as well have noticed that they are now allowing to do Skype. And a friend of mine, a good friend, he did not want me to mention his name on air, so I won't, in Washington, D.C., has forwarded a submission for Legal News and Review to take part of that. And hopefully we can. And, guys, I will inform you, it will be done by Skype. And, you know, whether you love him or hate him, we got to be very civil. He is the president as well.
Right, Tooch?
You know, inbound and outbound, when it comes to internal revenue aspects and definitions, inbound is not what you think it is, and outbound is not what you think it is. And I'm so glad Alan is here to help educate us in actually what it means when it comes to this tax code. What is inbound and outbound?
Well, inbound usually means foreigners coming into the United States. So it would mean someone, for example, from South America who wants to buy a rental condominium in Miami. That would be an inbound investment. Outbound would be if someone in Florida, for example, wanted to invest in a foreign country to set up a factory there. That would be an outbound investment because it's out going out from the United. The money is going out from the United States to a foreign country.
So companies like, let's just say Walmart, they operate all around the world.
Right.
So I guess they have to play by the same rules.
Right. They're considered usually to be outbound investors because the original Sam Walton business was incorporated in the United States. So when they go abroad, it's considered to be outbound investment by an American company to a foreign country.
Well, when it comes to tax strategies, do you work with individual investors or primarily companies?
Both. In South Florida, basically, there are very few corporate headquarters of public companies. So most of the business is closely held businesses investing abroad or else individual foreigners with closely held businesses investing in the United States.
Amazing. It seems to me one of the things you enjoy about what you do, nothing stays the same. As a matter of fact, you've given seminars. You're an invited speaker worldwide, actually. I'd like you to tell our audience about that.
Yeah, I do a fair amount of public speaking. I just got back from Tokyo talking about a new tax that the United States put in on foreign people who sell to the U.S. government. I would say that I speak usually every year at the Panama Bankers Association.
Right.
For, you have about 1,000 people there. And that's a very controversial thing because there, as you may know, the United States has required all foreign banks through their foreign governments to effectively report the ownership of any Panamanian or other foreign account that Americans right. have to avoid tax evasion. But on the other hand, the IRS does not collect and report back to the foreign countries anything that the foreigners have in America. So there's a tremendous resentment in Latin America to the IRS and to the United States in general because of this. They have to go to great expense to know the customer and for all the American customers to report back to the IRS.
Right.
And yet, if they have a local person who's not paying their tax in South America, it's very, they don't get automatic reports from them. They would have to go through a big request, and it's a big rigmarole. And they feel that that's
sounds like
unfair.
Business. Yeah, it sounds like business prevention.
There are legitimate benefits to offshore accounts, like there used to be like in the Cayman Islands. And I know they had a big controversy with Swiss accounts and that the Swiss government was turning Americans in, from what I recall. What's the latest scoop on that, and where would you tell somebody like us
to hide our money?
pretty much what I'm asking. Where would you hide it?
Park it.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
These agreements, the so-called FATCA agreements, basically make it impossible now for an American to hide money offshore.
Legitimately. When we say hide, right.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, since the ownership is going to be reported to the IRS and because the foreign accounts don't have the FDIC insurance and they pay a lot less, really it doesn't pay for a person who doesn't have an active business that needs the account abroad to actually have an account
abroad.
But
it used to pay.
Some people did it, and then the IRS caught wind of it. But now with the FATCA agreements, the people that have had the money abroad, a lot of them have gone into what's called the IRS amnesty program.
Right.
And we've had many of those cases.
What are some of the other pitfalls for foreigners who want to invest in the U.S. now?
One of the typical pitfalls that you may know from being a real estate lawyer is that the IRS can impose an inheritance tax if a foreigner is to buy a condominium directly and passes away unless there's a treaty. And therefore, foreigners usually like to interpose a company or a trust between themselves and the ownership of the property. Otherwise, they can get into trouble if they should pass away owning the condominium.
More work for Gary Singer.
That wasn't set up, but I actually knew a lot of that. It's true. What about the other way, like Americans now who want to invest in South America?
Yes. There's a liberalization that the IRS made about 12 years ago called the Check the Box Regulations. And what they do is they allow a closely held American business to set up a company abroad. And they can claim a dollar-for-dollar credit against their personal income taxes for what they earn abroad. So that basically largely eliminates the U.S. tax they pay on their foreign investments.
Oh, wow.
You know, tax time is
good
coming.
You've
got to file on the 18th of April. Don't forget. Make sure it's on your calendar or Google calendar. You can't forget that.
And business returns were due this week. So
really?
Yep.
Thanks
for corporations.
For oops. I got to come on more often to these shows.
But how does someone reach Alan Lederman? And by the way, I grew up about 20 minutes from New York City, and your voice is very comforting. And you want your tax attorney to sound like Alan Lederman.
Sound like a New York accent.
I love how you talk.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. People say that, and when I speak Spanish, they say I speak with a Puerto Rican accent.
So how do we reach you?
The best way is through the website, GUNSTER.com, mm-hmm. Gunster.com.
Okay. Gunster is really a cool name, sincerely, because I always want a gunster in my back pocket, you know, someone with a gun. You know, this is a real ending program. When I talk about that, I'm talking about the issues regarding taxes, the treaties. It's going to make a big difference in how you're going to be paying taxes, especially as investors, companies. Down here in South Florida, we are an import-export capital. And so you got to stay abreast of this. And, Alan, we appreciate you taking the time to come on.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And we look forward to having you on again when the issues warrant it.
You know, Alan, as someone who helps us with the tax, man, can you help us out with this? And reminder, when it comes to taxes, always
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.